I'm tipping Italy and England.
It's still on.
It's either coming home or it's time to say goodbye. We'll see.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
Delighted to say Flo Lloyd-Hughes is with us. Good morning to you. How are you, Flo?
Morning, guys. All right. A little bit croaky from being at Wembley last night, but not too bad, yeah.
And were you cheering on the Azzurri?
I was, yeah. I've really enjoyed watching them during the Euros. And although I think, you know, if England were to win tonight and get through to the final, Italy would be a harder team to face. I thought Spain were really good last night. So I was basically just cheering on it getting to a penalty shootout. So I'm happy because I got my way in that respect.
Yeah, what a penalty shootout. So you were at Wembley. What was the... Because the atmosphere looked absolutely brilliant. I mean, as fans starved of any proper sporting activity with fans in stadiums, this last month has been a reminder of why we fell in love with sport in the first place. But what was it like to be there?
Oh, it was amazing. And I mean, I think not to be too big-headed about London as a city, but I think in a situation where there are travel restrictions, I think probably the best place for these games to be is at Wembley, because London is such a multicultural city. And Mancini was complaining before the match about how unfair it was because there's going to be travel restrictions, so there wouldn't be Italian fans there. And there were tons of them, because there's loads of Italians that live in London, and same with the Spanish fans. There were loads of Spanish fans. So the atmosphere felt like it was, I don't know, in Rome or in Barcelona, because they were just so loud and just brought so much energy. So I thought it was brilliant, and I think with everything that's going on, I think having the games at Wembley is kind of a perfect solution, because we've got so many Europeans here.
Go on.
Well, we were just saying there earlier on, Flo, that it did seem on TV like a bit more of a carnival atmosphere than you're used to from a semi-final, that maybe you lose that with fans flying over, the season ticket holders, as it were, that would actually be there, whereas there was not a casualness about the fans last night, but there was certainly more positivity or more happiness, certainly on the evidence of TV. Was it like that in the ground?
No, I think in the ground it felt like more, you know, one half Italy, one half Spain. So obviously they had their big groups behind the goals, and most in the first half, whenever Spain got the ball, the Italian fans would just boo and whistle to try and put them on and put them off, and then vice versa when the Italians had the ball.
That was great.
So it felt like, for me, like a rivalry fixture. And then you had, I mean, there were some local, like obviously England fans who bought tickets because they just wanted to get to a game. So there was kind of, it's coming home popping up occasionally before being drowned out by some boos from the Italian fans. But it just felt good. Like, it just, like you said, it just felt amazing to have fans back.
Yeah, I thought the booing was brilliant, because keep talking about this, the fake crowd noise that they've been piping into the TV. There's never any booing. There's never any negativity. There's never any chance about the referee and whatever. Like, it you can't fake that. You actually need the negativity, because that's what makes the rivalry, and that's what makes the game, and that's what ratchets up the pressure.
Yeah, and it made it feel like a semi-final. You know, when we've been, that game that Denmark played against Czech Republic in Baku, that didn't feel like the quarter final of a European Championship. There were 1,000 Danish fans there or something, a couple of hundred Czech Republic fans, zero atmosphere. The pitch was terrible. And it just felt a bit sad that these players were playing in some of the biggest games of their careers in front of nobody. And last night, it felt like a proper high stakes, tense, high pressure occasion. And that's just what you want, really, in these big tournaments.
Yeah, good for the England fans to be distracted by the fact that there was another game last night, as opposed to constantly sitting there worrying, anxious about the potential outcome of this semi-final. Or certainly, judging from the papers today, it doesn't seem like there's a semi-final tonight at all. England seem to be already planning for Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, the arrogance could come to bite England a little bit. I mean, this is certainly the best chance they've ever had in a very long time to get to a major final and potentially win a trophy. I mean, that game a couple of years ago against Croatia was obviously another big opportunity, but I think Croatia were the better team then and deserved to get to the final. But this is a huge, huge opportunity. And I think really England are better than Denmark, but Denmark have really grown into this tournament. They look better with every game, and they've got this huge emotional experience that can, you know, have a massive impact and can carry you a long way.
What happens if England lose tonight? Is that written off as a bad tournament?
No, because I think the win against Germany was huge. It was huge psychologically for the fans, it was huge for the players, because that run to the semi-final in the World Cup, I think Southgate always had hanging over him that they didn't really have to beat many good teams. The shootout win against Colombia was massive, but apart from that, it felt like they weren't troubled that much. Whereas in this tournament, beating Germany has kind of proven to a lot of, I think, other big national teams, fans and the media that Southgate does mean business as a coach, and he will stay on and lead England, hopefully, into more success. So although it'll be a huge disappointment because of the fact there is such a big opportunity, I think that win against Germany will kind of carry a lot of weight and will keep Southgate's kind of stock fairly high for a while.
It feels as well like this is a group where he's maturing as a manager, they're maturing in just in terms of age. Like, some of these players are obviously at the peak in terms of their age, but that generation who are coming through, for whom some of this is their first tournament, like, they're excited. Grealish can't contain himself when he's talking about it. And it's like there's a boyish charm to that. But I'm sure it must be an incredible time to be an England fan when you're looking at what the future might hold.
Yeah, and you know what? As England fans, we've had this golden generation before. We've had our hopes lifted before. I mean, when Sven-Göran Eriksson was in charge, the calibre of some of those players that went the 2002 World Cup, 2004 Euros, I mean, the way Wayne Rooney lit up the 2004 Euros, but there's a brilliant piece by Ollie Kay in The Athletic, which really focuses on the culture of England and how that's dramatically changed with kind of purpose and specific kind of professionals that they've brought in to really transform the way England is as a team across the men's and women's side. And I think that's kind of the missing piece of the puzzle, because England have always had talented players. They've always had talented players because the FA spend loads on football programmes in England. We obviously have the Premier League, which is really successful, and it's the nation's game, both for boys and girls, men and women. So it's never been an issue about talent, really. It's been an issue about mindset and culture. And I think that's why this generation is so different, because they've finally perfected that. And also, you were talking about, is it going to be a disappointment? The reality is, this tournament is kind of rigged for England to win. Let's be honest. They played all their group games at Wembley. They only had to play one of their knockout games away from Wembley. They got the semi-final and potentially the final at Wembley. If they don't win it now in front of home fans, you almost feel like, are they ever going to do it? Because this is basically a home tournament for England. So they've really got to seize the moment and seize the opportunity. And I know they want to. It's not a case of if they don't do it, if they didn't want it. Yeah, anything can happen, and Denmark are still a good team.
How many changes would you make to the team that started against Ukraine?
The team against Ukraine, I probably would make a couple of changes. I mean, I think when you look at a lot of the build-up to this game, it looks like probably playing a 3-4-3 is probably the best option for Southgate. And it looks like he might go for the same team that played against Germany, but move Saka out and bring Mason Mount in. So I think Jadon Sancho will probably drop out of the side. I thought he was okay against the Ukraine, but I think Southgate's not going to want to take too many risks. And we've seen Denmark be able to exploit with their 4-3-3. So I think he's going to want to try and match up with them across the pitch. But I mean, Southgate's proven a lot of journalists wrong this entire tournament when they've tried to guess what he's going to do. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does something completely different.
Yeah, that has been certainly the hallmark of his team selection all the way through up to this point. I don't know. I haven't seen a consensus leaked team. We were talking about this before we came on. Before all of the games up to this point, there has been that various people have got the team. That doesn't seem to be the case at this point.
Yeah, it was funny that, I mean, the Germany team got leaked really early at like 8 o'clock in the morning, the day of the game, which I thought was a bit worrying, because you are also giving your opposition like 12 hours to potentially change things if they've seen it as well. I mean, they probably knew what they were doing the whole time. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet as of kind of 8:30 now. But I think Southgate isn't worried about that. I mean, he seems to be fairly confident that even if the team is to be leaked, he's still got the right options. And you mentioned Jack Grealish. I mean, what England have on the bench to bring on is so good that I think if things don't quite go their way in the first half, I think Southgate has shown now that he's better at using substitutes than he once was. And he will call on people like Jack Grealish to just go on and change the game.
The one caveat to all this is I'm not a huge believer in the FIFA World Rankings, but Denmark are ranked 10th, and I was trying to find where Croatia were ranked before the World Cup in 2016. They were as low as 27th in April in the year of 2016, and obviously they finished the year much higher at about 14th. So, like, FIFA would seem to think Denmark are going to give you a tougher game than what they thought Croatia were going to give England. That's the one kind of thing that's nagging away here at me, is that, like, okay, so they don't have Christian Eriksen playing, but they've got something far more important than him physically on the pitch. They've got his spirit. They certainly feel like they're a team of destiny.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if they were to go on and win this tournament, it'd be the most incredible movie. You know, you couldn't write that. But, I mean, in kind of, like you said, with the Coca-Cola rankings, I mean, I wouldn't pay much attention to them, considering Belgium have been number one for a very long time now and haven't been able to get very far in tournaments as of yet. So, yeah, I think all in all, they're not a team that should be underestimated. I think they've shown how they've got a lot better going forward than they were at the start of this tournament. And I think it's not just the emotion that England should be fearful of. I think they are a quality side. So certainly, I think, just ignore the rankings and look at how a team have performed throughout a tournament.
What's your take on how England will fare if they do go 1-0 down?
It's an interesting question. Obviously, they haven't conceded any goals this tournament, and it's the one thing that they haven't had to think about yet. And they had a similar issue at the World Cup, where they didn't concede a lot of goals, didn't have to fight back from going a goal down really at all, apart from in the group stages against Belgium, where they made a ton of changes. So it wasn't really a game that counted for much. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest fear for England fans is Jordan Pickford. You mentioned him earlier. Highly emotional guy, wears his heart on his sleeve, tremendous shot stopper, but we all know he can be quite erratic. Sometimes he can let his head get the better of him. And he hasn't felt what it's like to concede a goal yet in this tournament. And it'll be really interesting if England do go behind early, how that impacts him, how that impacts Harry Maguire, how that impacts the whole defence, who have clean sheets throughout this competition. They're going to have to finally adjust to being the team fighting to get back into it for once.
Does it change how Southgate would then approach things? Like, do you subscribe to the idea that it has been defence first this campaign?
Yeah, certainly. He's been very kind of strong on the fact that he has prioritised defence. And I think Pickford and his defenders have been consistent with that in the way that they've talked in the media. It's always been about, you know, if we get a clean sheet, we know we're putting ourselves in the best position to win games and progress. So I think that the mentality has always been kind of defend our goal first, and then an opportunity will drop to our attackers, and we know that they're good enough to put it away. So certainly a note, yeah, he's gone into this knowing that he needs to prioritise how England are defensively, because they've shown those weaknesses before.
What has been your favourite moment of Euros football paraphernalia, tat, call it what you will? We were raiding your Twitter account this morning, and we're going to put up a couple of pictures. It's in glorious pizza form. It's coming home, spelled out with, I think, pepperoni on a margarita. And it's a work of art. And the Harry Kane one is just absolutely sensational. 9 separate pieces of cheese carved in the shape of an England shirt with the 9 number on Harry Kane's chest and the cross of St. George. I think that's just in Passata. Some beautiful... it looks like a higher quality cheese they've used for the jersey as well. And then Kane is spelled out again in glorious meat product.
Is this every Asda in the UK at the moment, the deli section?
I mean, I haven't certainly seen it in the local shops around me, but it does seem particularly tragic, doesn't it?
or glorious, however, I can't decide. Glorious, however, glorious football kitsch.
However people want to show their fandom is, you know, is up to them. But yeah, there's some funny things that shops certainly get involved with. I mean, I did appreciate at Wembley last night an Italian fan who had this sign, and he'd written "It's coming home," but he'd crossed out the H and put an R, so it said "It's coming Rome." I thought that was pretty good. So there's been some good bits and pieces, some good signs, some good fans. But yeah, I mean, like you said, having the fans back, I just think it's been a wonderful showcase for football, really. I mean, the matches we've been able to enjoy last night, France, Switzerland, a very good one. Italy, Belgium was one of my favourite games as well. I think we've been starved of something like this for so long. It just feels so good to have really good football back.
Do you expect them to boo the knee tonight?
No, I don't. I think England fans have shown in the last couple of weeks, certainly, that they are. There's more of them that support that than don't. And although there might be, you know, a couple of boos around Wembley, it's definitely drowned out by the cheers. And I actually think there was a stronger reaction to Ukraine not joining and taking the knee on Saturday than the players doing it themselves. And I think people love these players, and these players understand the power that they have. And I think the impact is being shown the way I think the narrative has changed. And it might be just because I'm in my own little Twitter, you know, vacuum. But I do truly think that people are starting to see, you know, what these players are passionate about and respecting that and thinking, you know, maybe I should support that as well.
That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? Because if you compare the volume of the boos at the Riverside in any of the pre-season friendlies or the pre-tournament friendlies to what we're hearing now, there has been an appreciable difference. And I certainly would have been of the opinion that certain views are entrenched and you're not going to change anybody's mind. But it sort of seems that even on a small level, that is exactly what's happened.
Yeah, totally. And I also think, I mean, some of it is about where the games are. Like, you know, London is certainly a more liberal city than Middlesbrough, and that's going to have an impact as well. There was also more fans at Wembley, and there weren't as many in Middlesbrough, so people booing at the Riverside is going to sound a lot louder than people booing at Wembley because there were more cheers at Wembley. So I think there's a couple of different factors, but I think some of the biggest legacy for Southgate and for a lot of people up to kind of this tournament has always been the man he is and what he's passionate about, how he's influenced the nation and influenced the players that he works with. And this kind of coaching quality has only really come in the last kind of couple of months. But I think his legacy will really be how he's impacted football and kind of the wider country in terms of diversity, inclusion, and what he's passionate about. And I think some fans have been changed by that. And that is really important. Even if you just impact a couple of people's lives, you are, you know, you're changing society in that respect.
I really hope you're right. Flo, give us a prediction.
Oh, it's tough. I don't think England can realistically go all this way still without not conceding a goal. So I think they might concede a goal tonight, but I do think they're going to win. I think it's going to be 2-1 England.
In normal time, or is this a nail-biter extra time?
I think in 90, or I hope in 90, just for my kind of sanity's sake.
Well, listen, enjoy the game. When you think about where we've come from to where we are tonight, to be able to go to Wembley and for you to be able to watch your country against Denmark is a fairly remarkable turnaround. So enjoy. Thanks a million for talking to us this morning.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.